Is God calling you to ministry? It's time to multiply your capacity for ministry with an affordable degree. The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the degree for you. When God called you to ministry, He called you to preparation. This degree is the education that you need to put all the pieces together for an amazing life of ministry. You will graduate with a confidence for ministry that is backed up by your competence in the scriptures, theology, and ministry. Come learn with a trusted seminary that will help you become a faithful leader. Learn more at wbs.edu.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Alex McFarland of Exploring the Word, sitting in for Pastor Jeff Shreve, who is traveling today. Folks, we have a phenomenal show. And later on, we're going to take calls. The number is 888-589-8840 in the second and third segments. But right now, in the first segment, this is really special. This is really an exciting interview for me. In just a moment, we will have Kathy Lee Gifford on. She is the author of a brand new book entitled Herod and Mary, Ancient Evil, Living Hope, and we'll cue that up here in just a moment. But there's a lot in the news, and I will tell you that I'll be heading out after I speak at the Cove this weekend. I've got the privilege, this is my, I give God the glory, my 18th summer to go to the Cove. And by the way, the website of the Cove is THECOVE, thecove.org. It's too late probably for you to get there tonight. I'll be teaching 1 John, but next summer I'll be there twice in the summer of 25. But I want to say thanks to everybody that prays for the work that we do. We are in the middle of 7 summer youth camps. We just finished 4. We got 3 more to go. And I give God the glory. We've seen over 100 young people come to Christ this summer, and I'm sure there'll be some more before the summer is out. But I want to say thanks to everybody who prays for what we do and just really stands with us as we try to teach our young people about not only the gospel, and that's the main thing, obviously, the gospel of Jesus Christ, but also patriotism. And America, we teach kids about God and country, and let me say, they really, really respond. And so I give God the glory for that. There's a lot in the news, though, and I hope you're praying for our nation. And let me, before we get into some content here, I want to give the website for something that I've been involved in, which is urging young people that are of voting age to vote. If you go to my website, which is alexmcfarland.com/vote, alexmcfarland.com/vote, we've written some content to help encourage people, especially young people, young adults, to view your citizenship with a sense of stewardship. You know, for the Christian, all of life is stewardship. And we'll talk more about that, the website, alexmcfarland.com/vote. Well, right now, what an honor. Kathy Lee Gifford is a 4-time Emmy award-winning film producer, author of numerous books. She's a playwright, a songwriter, director, and really few people in American media are as well-known and really as well-beloved as Kathy Lee Gifford. She's got a brand new book out. It's titled Herod and Mary, and we're going to talk about that and how you can pre-order this exciting new book. Kathy Lee, thanks for making time to be with us this morning.
Thank you, Alex, and all those nice things it says in my bio but aren't true.
Well, it's an impressive bio, and let's talk about that for a moment. Did you, at what age did you feel the desire to pursue show business?
When I came out of the womb with a pratfall. You know, I came out just that way, wanting to put on shows. Wrote to Walt Disney when I was a little girl saying, I know you love Annette Funicello and Haley Mills. I do too, but you need to meet me. I'm known for my expressions.
Did he write back?
I had a little chutzpah. Yes, well, of course, it was a form letter, but still, I didn't know that. What was I, 8? I said, yeah. He wrote me back. And it was very sweet, very encouraging. Maybe one day we will do some movies together. And we did, because I ended up working with Regis at ABC. So, and that was owned by Disney. So, yeah. But I knew my whole life. And then once I became a follower of Jesus when I was 12, it was a lot of people. Forgive me if I'm a little shaky today, Alex. I just had my hip removed. And so I'm a little shaky. But anyway. It didn't happen this morning, but it's recent.
Well, Godspeed on your recovery. I've got to ask you, and I know, you know, countless people would want me to ask you, what was Regis Philbin like? Because it looked like you guys were having a blast.
He was exactly the same as he was on TV. That never changed. I saw him angry in the 35 years that we were just great friends. I think I saw him angry maybe 2 times. Not at me. We never had an unkind word between us the entire time we worked together. We went out there without any preparation. We never talked to each other before we sat down. And we talked for 23 minutes without us going to commercial break. And we only we concentrated on one thing, and that was having fun. And we were not mean-spirited at all. We teased each other mercilessly. You know, there's so much mean-spiritedness now in the world, and we just wanted everybody to take a break from it and just spend an hour with us, and we do stupid stuff, and we make you laugh, and then, you know, I try to make people cry, you know, if it was something important that was going on in the world. We always, I always used it as a ministry. Every time I have gone on television or, gone on a radio show or gone on Broadway or in a movie set, that's my mission field, always has been.
Well, I want to commend you because, you know, you have done that rare thing that you have risen to the height of show business and you never compromised your Christianity. In fact, you've always been a witness for the Lord. And I know the Lord has blessed you in that. And let me ask you, what advice would you have for Christian young people that do aspire to be in media and show business?
If you're called to it, the Lord is going to give you everything you need to get through it. But be prepared because it's brutal. Just be prepared and always treat the guard at the gate with the same respect and affection as the executive producer. Do not be a respecter of persons in that way. Every person is a child of God, and everybody Amen. Deserves to be valued and see them. First thing, ask them what their name is and say it every day. And, you know, I do that every single day, whatever I'm up to. Right now I'm up to signing 10,000 books for a big signing next week. So,
oh my goodness. You might need a wrist replacement after that. That's a lot of books to sign.
I know. Yeah. I take on too much stuff very often, but God always gets me through. But I do want to only have a few minutes to talk about Herod and Mary.
I want to hear the premise of this.
Yeah, it's a thriller. I've never written a thriller before, and I co-wrote it with a brilliant PhD gentleman by the name of Brian Litvin, and he did a lot of the heavy lifting on this, but I have been fascinated by Herod since I went to Israel many, 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 many years ago on a rabbinical trip and learned about the history of Herod. He's not mentioned that much in the Bible. You know, we only have several mentions of him, none of them good, but I had no idea how evil this man was, unbelievably evil, murdered pretty much anybody that either got in his way or he married or he gave birth to, or, you know, it just, and, you know, so I'm writing all these books on the inside page and I'm going, what does it profit a man? Because at the end of our teaching session in Israel, my teacher took his hat off and threw it down in the dust, and we were at Herodian, which is one of Herod's was magnificent palace at one time. All of them were. And it right there in Bethlehem. And he threw Alan his hat and goes, Herod! And the echo was, Herod, Herod, Herod. Was it worth it? Worth it? Would you do it all again? And so our book opens basically with him at his palace in Jericho, just totally has lost his mind completely. His genitals are hanging off of him. They're charcoal and there's larvae. And I don't want to gross anybody out, but I mean, this man lived a life like, you know, he was regretting it. And he was walking around the palace going, Miriam, yay, Miriam. That's the wife he murdered. So it's a really good question we have to ask ourselves today, because nothing's changed, really. Look around. Look at the people in places of power that abuse it, and we don't seem to learn from it. And everybody thinks nothing's going to happen to them, and then it does. And so what he'd have to ask the question, because he was never a beloved king, but he wanted to be, and he never was. Of course, if they called him the king of the Jews. He was not a Jew. He was he came from Idumea, which is modern day Jordan. And I had no idea how incredibly important he was on the world scene. He was very good friends with Mark Antony, and Cleopatra tried to seduce him. And I mean, the story just goes on and on. So he was trying to keep the Romans from murdering him and trying to keep the Jews from killing him, because the Jews in Israel he wasn't a Jew, and they didn't want a king that wasn't a Jew. So just from a historical perspective, it's just fascinating. And then we weave in the story of precious, godly, holy young Mary. Yes. And how she was chosen by the Lord to give birth to the actual, not just the king of the Jews, but the king of all humankind. And so it's never been done, this kind of a book by me. And, and it's the first of hopefully a series, because it's called Ancient Evil, Living Hope. And, you know, think about it. People go, do you think there's more evil in the world today than there used to be? It seems like it, because of, you know, we have so much news coverage of everything. But the truth is that if you go all the way back to the story of Adam and Eve in the garden, there was evil right there. The serpent was there.
Oh, yes.
So I want people to get encouragement that even when it looks so dark and so evil and so ugly, the Holy Spirit is still here. He's everywhere. Mm-hmm. The creator of all things never leaves us or forsakes us. And I just want people to feel encouraged in these dark times and really evil times, that, you know what? God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I love this, if I can remember it, I'm a little doddered today. Is it James 1:17 that says, I can't. I'm sorry. I'm still loaded up with antibiotics and everything.
You're doing great. Let me ask you, every good and perfect gift is from above, right? James 1:17.
Yes. Thank you. That's the one. Thank you. Yes. Coming down from the Father in the heavenly realms, who does not change like shifting shadows.
Amen.
Love that, because, you know, it looks like everything's changing. Look at our news today. Heaven forbid, you know, we don't know what president we're going to wake up with tomorrow, maybe.
I know.
And people would love to know that there's something, one thing that they can always, always count on. And there's only one thing, and it's the Lord God, creator
and I think
of all
people,
things.
I think people are hungry for that stability and that security that we have in the Lord, you know? When does the book come out?
It comes out July 16th, but it's available now for pre-order. Mm-hmm. And the next one we're going to do is Nero and Paul, the Apostle Paul. So, And if they're successful, you know, then we'll keep doing them, because there's Ahab and Jezebel. There's all kinds of evil in ancient biblical times. And I'm a dramatist and a playwright. So I just look for great, great stories. But if Jesus is the greatest story ever told, Herod, in my mind, was the greatest story never told. I had no idea. Every page is a page turner. You just kind of go, "What's he going to do next? How did he get out of that?"
So let me ask you this. We've got a break. Kathy Lee Gifford, I am so grateful. We got to have you back on at a future date. Book is
that.
Herod and Mary: Ancient Evil, Living Hope. It comes out July 16, but you can pre-order now. And your website, Kathy, what's your website?
I think it's just me, kathyleegifford.com.
Hey, God bless you. Thank you for your time this morning. Godspeed, my friend.
Thank you.
Stay tuned.
Thank
We're back
you.
After this.
Lord bless.
You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop. So we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here. I would like to hear from you this morning. I'm going to open up the phone lines. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you're just tuning in, the majority of the first segment, we had a conversation with Kathy Lee Gifford, author of a new book about Herod and Mary. But right now, I want to kind of transition to some things in the news. By the way, I don't know if you saw this in the news. Stamps go up 5 cents on Sunday. Isn't that something? So the Forever stamp, you know, I bought a whole bunch of them back when they were cheaper. Now, for several years, they've been 68 cents. They go up to 73 cents, a 5 cent increase on Sunday. So you might want to buy some stamps today, and you'll save a little bit of money. But we're living in a time. I just did an interview this morning on Fox News. I don't know when it'll come out. But our nation, I think a lot of people realize that our nation needs something. I think our nation needs the Lord. We need a revival. And yet there are people that, if you talk about Christianity and the public square, there are people that will say, oh, you know, church and state are two kind of silos that don't overlap. You know, the first ever U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice was John Jay. And John Jay said this, "Inasmuch as we are a Christian nation, it is in our best interest to select and prefer Christians for our leaders." Now, he was the very first Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. And yet, oddly enough, some of the people who were almost arguing for Christianity to retreat from the public square are professed Christians. And I was on Fox News this morning to film an interview about that. I think we need more influence of moral truth, God's word, and Christianity, not less. But what do you say about that, folks? The number is 888-589-8840. And also, let me just say this regarding President Biden. Of course, yesterday he had a press conference, and I mean, it was just kind of cringeworthy. He referred to the Ukrainian President Zelensky as President Putin. I mean, talk about a gaffe of all gaffes at this juncture in history. I can honestly say this, no ill will. I pray for President Biden. For a couple of reasons. One, the Word of God tells us to. The Bible says, pray for kings and for those that are in authority, that we may live a peaceable life in all godliness. That's 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3. In other words, the church, pray for kings and for those in power, that we may live a peaceable life in all godliness. In other words, we are to pray for, work for, desire a culture most conducive for the spread of Christianity. And a free, safe, prosperous America would enable us to engage in the Great Commission more so than a non-free, unsafe, you know, third world country. But we'll come back to that. I hope you are praying for our nation. We're going to start out in Mississippi. Scott in Mississippi. Scott, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dr. Alex. This is, seems like a rare opportunity to ask something of you that I couldn't really ask on Exploring the Word. And I love your weekend show, too, that's kind of undersold. I think it's the best-kept secret of the weekend.
Here, you're so kind.
Power Pack. Well, you just addressed some of the things that we don't get to hear other places, and you have some really, you know, some really rare viewpoints from a biblical perspective that we probably don't consider enough in our daily lives. I really have been thinking lately, though, that I wanted to get the sort of opinions, for lack of a better word, from you and some of the other guys like Abraham Hamilton and some of the ones that are really, that I really can sink my teeth into what they say and how they say it and how where I know they're coming from. Mm-hmm. About how the news, how you personally filter the news. I've been told before I listen to too much news, but it's by some of my friends that don't realize how much of the news gets filtered through the Word of God, through my weekly, I'm a AFR junkie, so to speak. I can be a news junkie. I used to be a Fox junkie, but I'm totally cold turkey from TV and all that. But the reliability of the news plus the way that it fits into, I mean, I feel like I can discern, I feel like God has really blessed my stewardship of the information because it is bathed in the Word of God. But it's also, I also take it with a grain of salt at times when I can also see how the veil is being lifted if you really pay attention. If you're really looking at it from an objective viewpoint and can get the 30,000-foot view or whatever, you can see how much of it is the Tower of Babel taking shape and taking form.
Oh, and yeah.
I love Todd's show at noon, Todd Herman. His show is very provocative, but I wanted your take, and I thought that you could do it either, if not this morning, since you're filling in for Pastor Jeff, maybe on your weekend show or one of the other times that you give your commentary, and I value your stewardship and your ministry, and I really pray for your health because I know you're burning the candle at a lot of ends, especially on a weekend like this one where you're really can to can't, and hopefully
God
Angie
bless
gets to see you.
You
a few minutes each day.
hold that thought for a second. Scott, well, thank you. You're very gracious. And yeah, just a little PR, we do a weekend show. If you recognize my voice, folks, we have a live show that we're like at 15 years we've been doing Exploring the Word. Pastor Bert Harper and myself, we're on Monday through Friday on the American Family Radio Network live, 4 to 5 Eastern, 3 to 4 Central, and the time zone of your choice. But Exploring the Word is a Bible teaching show. But on the weekend, what I do, I pre-record and I turn it in every usually by end of day Tuesday, but sometimes by like midday Wednesday. But I record a 30-minute show, and it's heard on Saturdays and Sundays. And it's Truth for a New Generation with Alex McFarland, and it's on the AFR network, and it's pre-recorded. And because I record it like early to the middle of the week, a lot of times we really do get current events. So, Scott, thanks for listening to that show. And thanks for letting me promote it just a little bit. But in terms of news, let me just say this, folks. I really do think that we have a stewardship issue to always be learning and reading. And not only Well, obviously, the number one thing to fill our heart and mind with is the Word of God. And so the number one thing, I would encourage people every day to read the Bible and have devotions. And there's Our Daily Bread or Open Windows, or there's so many really good devotionals. An oldie goldie is Morning and Evening Devotions by Charles Spurgeon. Streams in the Desert by Mrs. Charles Kalman. I mean, there are a lot of great devotional books. By the way, one that we enjoyed for years was Josh McDowell's book of family devotions. Josh McDowell is a great leader, but even beyond our Bible study and our daily quiet time, folks, like Scott alluded to, I think we have an obligation to stay up on the news. Now, besides Fox, and you know, Scott, we have an old saying down south. I'm from the south. Eat the chicken and spit out the bones. Have you ever heard that saying?
Yeah, it sounds just like us in the south, doesn't it?
It does. All right, I like Fox. I've been on Fox. I did a Fox interview this morning. But Fox is not always conservative. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. Let me name a few, and I've written for all of these. One is Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H, or Epoch Times, however you pronounce it. I think that's pretty trustworthy. Newsmax, I've done a ton of stuff for Newsmax. Another one that you may not hear too much, folks, but I would encourage you to familiarize yourself with it, is called Western Journal. And I've written articles for Western Journal. Scott, have you ever heard of Western Journal?
Yeah, I get some of theirs online sometimes. They're very good. I've enjoyed the writers, because it gives you a bio of the writer of that particular article, too, at the end of it. And I appreciate that, because it gives you a little bit insight into their perspective, you know, for each article that you're reading. And like I said, I like to measure it out and not just take it. News to me has gotten a bad rap because of the way it's agenda driven, and I don't think agenda driven news is news at all.
Right.
But I think there is news that needs to be disseminated and needs to be, you know, to me, news for me is a confidence builder that the biblical worldview is the only worldview I should have.
And amen.
It's confirmation that what the Bible says is like having the compass with due north, with true north in the woods, instead of having a compass that points back to self, like most of us seem to have, and keeps us lost and wandering throughout our earthly journey. So that true north is critical to me in my daily life, because, you know, if I don't have in the news, to me, it's like Todd does with his Tower of Babel segment at the very end. He has three sound bites that he uses, and you don't even have to highlight three sound bites. You hear it all through the news, how much blind, ignorant, whatever you want to call it, the power controlling agenda that is there, that totally skews everything we see and hear. And even our representatives go up to Washington or wherever, and they look for times in their day to just create a soundbite or a piece of video that can be used to promote their pack or their super pack or whatever. And that's
the
what
good
news
is. You know, the good news is the truth persists. The truth has a certain resiliency about it. I'll never forget in 2015, and by the way, I see callers holding. We will get to you. Hang on there. And folks, if you want to call in, it's 888-589-8840. I was on some show with Geraldo Rivera. I'm not name dropping. It's just it is what it is. But after the Obergefell decision in 2015, gay marriage. And I was on some show with Geraldo Rivera, and I'll never forget. He said, Reverend McFarland, I've known Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson. Look, I've known all the culture warriors. You guys have lost. It's over. Turn out the light and go home. And I said, well, you know, it's not that simple, because Matthew 24:35, the Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. And so I want to encourage you, Scott, and everybody, hang in there. truth wins. In John 10:35, the Lord Jesus said, the scripture cannot be broken. And so I realized for the moment, like Todd Storen says, my friend Todd Storen says, that we're watching the building of the Tower of Babel. And yeah, I mean, there's immorality, transgenderism, all these things. The truth has a tenacity about it. You know, let me say one of the great 20th century American historians was Eugene Genovese. Now, Eugene Genovese, he was this renowned historian, and for most of his career, he was like an open Marxist and a secularist. And in the 60s, he wrote about that he was hoping for communism to win in Vietnam. But here's the thing. And I'm speaking about the tenacity of truth. By the mid-90s, he began to write about how the left-wing media had covered up the crimes of the Marxist and the socialist. And he eventually came back to the Christianity of his childhood. And he said this. He said, 70 years of Marxism, leftism, socialism, all that we have to show for all of the left-wing agenda are tens of millions of dead bodies. That was Eugene Genovese, a renowned historian. And so it took some time, and there's a toll. But let me just plead with you, folks. Our blessed nation was founded on moral truth. And I realize personal commitment to Christ, that's a decision everybody must make. But what we can't let happen is America lose her moral foundation. I knew, and I would say, and I think he would have concurred, that I was friends with the atheist Christopher Hitchens. He died about 12 years ago. We emailed up until right before his death. I had him on AFR. But even Christopher Hitchens, an atheist, said, and he says this in his book on Jefferson, the author of America, he says, America was founded as a Christian nation. And now he wasn't a Christian, as far as I'm aware. He never got saved, sadly. But even the secular atheist has a vested interest in America retaining our moral foundation. Because if we lose our moral foundation, what are we left with? Really, anarchy and lawlessness. By the way, hang on, folks. We have a break, and I want to do these calls justice. But let me just refer you to two things. One, I wrote a book called The Assault on America, How to Defend Our Nation Before It's Too Late. I generally never peddle my books on the radio, and I'm not now, but I just want to make you aware, if you want to do a deep dive on natural law, which is the philosophical foundation of our country, that's moral truth. The Ten Commandments. My book, The Assault on America, How to Defend Our Nation Before It's Too Late, it was number one on Amazon in three categories when it came out. I give God the glory. Then check out my website too, also alexmcfarland.com/vote. alexmcfarland.com/vote. Plus, I'd love to come speak in your city. Email me. I'll come. We'll speak. We'll equip. We'll debate the local atheists. In love. But hey, Alex McFarland here, American Family Radio. We're back after this brief break. Greg, Chris, everyone else, we're going to talk to you when we come back. Don't go away. May God bless you. I'm right back after this.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Blessings to all. Alex McFarland here, sitting in for Jeff Shreve. Very honored to do so. We're going to continue with calls. We're going to go to Texas. Chris in Texas, thanks for holding, and welcome to Real Truth.
Hi. Hi, Alex. You know, I was thinking, when we try to spread the gospel, I think the approach we take needs to be, you know, well-informed. So when in places like Louisiana and Oklahoma, where the Ten Commandments will be posted and there will be Bible instruction, I think we need to have realistic expectations. Teenagers always rebel against what is given to them in school.
Mm-hmm.
But go on. I think the best way to have missionary work in schools is to have Christian kids from well-grounded Christian households who go into the public school and are different, and that would attract their classmates.
Yeah. I was thinking about your first point. Kids do rebel to a point, but we've done... I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you because I know youth, I'm not sure it's always overt rebellion, but at least questioning. You know, kids, they want to know why. Why do we have to do this? You know, and it talks about this in Exodus 13. When it comes to pass that your son will ask you, why do we do these things? Then you will say to your son, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, God with a strong hand delivered us. Now, posting, I'm thrilled that in Louisiana, HB1, they call it, their Ten Commandments are posted in all public schools. And let's be clear that the teaching of moral behavior and encouraging self-control, that's not the same as salvation. Salvation is believing in the Lord Jesus and being born again. I will say this, because Chris, I've had people say to me, why do you want to post the Ten Commandments? Because that's not going to get people saved. I understand that, because the gospel is different than moral truth. But the moral truth is a good foundation for the gospel. Because, for instance, you know, the seventh commandment says that we should not steal. The eighth commandment says that we should not lie. But if you meditate on that, you realize, I have told lies. I have stolen and wasted my employer's time. I think part of the reason it's vitally important to teach kids the Ten Commandments is, for one thing, it is the philosophical foundation of our government. Folks, it's like James Madison said, that our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. So, Chris, let me ask you this. I think it's good that there's now suddenly an openness to reminding kids about the Ten Commandments. I mean, don't you think that's a good thing?
Well, a public school teacher isn't necessarily a Christian. And so if those students have questions, they may not be getting the expert explanation.
That's true. That's true. And sadly, my goodness, there have been many Christians in public education, and at least in recent years, many of them are just terrified to ever articulate their Christian beliefs because so many school administrators and principals, superintendents, principals, I mean, they are very afraid to advocate for the First Amendment rights of teachers because all it takes is one little Satanist group or one little atheist group to rattle their legal saber and threaten a lawsuit, and the rights of Christians are squelched. But let me just say this, that, you know, John Adams, he very famously said that our country, we have no government. This is amazing. This was October 11, 1798. John Adams said this, "We have no government armed with the power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion." He said, "Our Constitution would be broken like a whale breaking through a net." And then, very famously, "Our Constitution was made only for moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the governance of any other." So, folks, let me say, morals and the gospel are two different things. The gospel is believe in Jesus who paid for our sins on the cross. But morality, teaching morality, does not violate the non-establishment clause of the First Amendment. The secularists, they want you to believe that if you say marriage is between a man and a woman, oh, they'll say that violates the First Amendment. That's your religion. Look, the belief that males are not females, that's not the gospel. That's just common sense. The idea that two homosexuals cannot procreate and produce a child. Now, that comports with biblical truth, but morals, marriage, gender, and that we ought not murder the unborn, that's not religion. That's just common sense morality. Let's go to Greg in Kentucky. Greg, thanks for holding, and welcome to the American Family Radio Network.
Yes, good morning, brother.
Thanks for holding, by the way.
Really, really appreciate your ministry. Just this morning, my wife and I, as we're studying 2 Samuel, like, wow, I wish we could call Alex and ask him about this. But that's not my question today. As it relates to government, as I look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. And that's easy at some levels, you know, don't steal, don't murder. Those things are very clear. But when I see that some of those institutions, like our schools, for example, are teaching our kids that they can be any gender they want, even in our small town, they're asking kids their pronouns, when they are encouraged to, you know, celebrate Pride Month, and it really has become, in some levels, an edict. It's not really optional. How do we exegete this passage when things that are being told to us or at some levels enforced upon our children, when they violate God's law, how do we properly exegete this passage?
That's a great question, because, you know, if you like, you look at the 1 Peter 2:13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, and some translations will say be subject to every human institution. First of all, let me say that in America, by God's grace, we have recourse. Yes, the public schools have a lot of things that are ungodly and just irrational in recent years, but we have homeschooling, and we have private schooling, and we have Christian schooling. So let me say that even in the Roman Empire, the early church, they were not to resort to violence and insurrection to spread the gospel. If you read the 1 Peter 2, which is a lot like Romans 13, 1 through 7, but submit yourselves to every human institution, verse 14 of 1 Peter 2, unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. Now, Peter here in 1 Peter 2 is much like Paul in Romans 13, 1 through 7, that says that they do not bear the sword in vain, but they are ministers. Paul in Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, and that really means the governing authorities. I want to quote Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who quoted Augustine and several other ethicists. And by the way, folks, let me recommend a couple of books. And I have a little personal rule. I never recommend a book that I myself have not read at least once. Okay, there was a guy named Robertson McQuilkin, McQuilkin. He's in heaven now. Dr. Robertson McQuilkin wrote a wonderful book published by Tyndale Publishers simply called Christian Ethics. And I really think that's something that we need to teach in church more than we have in recent years, is ethics. And Dr. McQuilkin's book, it was published by Tyndale, and it's really a great book. Another one, his book was called Biblical Ethics. Biblical Ethics. Super easy to find. It's a phenomenal book because it's very practical, and I would encourage people to read it. Another one is by Norm Geisler. And here's my point. We are to be respectful of authority figures, whether that be our parents, our teachers in school, our employers, elected officials. And the beautiful thing about America is when we have people that we disagree with or leaders that are just ungodly, we have recourse. We're not in a communist police state, at least not yet. And that's why I encourage people to vote. We can change who occupies the seats of leadership in Washington. We can pray. We can influence. We can vote. We can change schools. We can pull our children out of public indoctrination and put them under the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So, Greg, to your question, in handling the Romans 13 and the 1 Peter 2, I think the key word is subject. Be subject to authority unless that authority is coercive and trying to force us to believe and live contrary to the Word of God. Dr. King, in his Pulitzer-winning 1963 book, Why We Can't Wait, he says this, and he quotes Augustine, he quotes Thomas Aquinas, he quotes the founders of the country, and he says this, I think it's true, a just law is a law which squares up with the character and nature of God. So we are to be lawful. The only time that really resistance is justified is if a law is forcing you to do that which is ungodly or unbiblical. Now, again, in America, we've been very blessed. 248 years our nation has existed. We just celebrated America's 248th birthday. We have a constitution, and I think that the founders were brilliant in this. That's why 1787, the Constitutional Convention, was called the Miracle in Philadelphia, that they crafted a government that made provision for what they call the redress of grievances. If there's a bad law, it can be repealed. If there's even like amendments to the Constitution, the 27-point Bill of Rights, and you know, when a bad amendment was drafted, it can be revoked. The 18th Amendment was repealed by the 21st Amendment, and that's the only time, as far as I'm aware, that an amendment to the Bill of Rights was repealed. But by the grace of God, we have the ability to change course. Now, I want to do something. I wish we have time for this. I wrote an article. Go to AmericanThinker.com, if you would. I wrote an article, and it was just a great honor. It was published on July 4th, but I wrote this op-ed on the preamble to the Constitution. And it's kind of funny because it was like if woke secularist, you know, rewrote the preamble to the Constitution today, what would that look like? And you know that the preamble says, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union. By the way, it's a 56-word, it lays out the rationale for the Constitution. It's really kind of like, if you would, a thesis statement for the Constitution. And what you know, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union, ensure justice, domestic tranquility. I rewrote it as if it were written by woke leftists today. Go to AmericanThinker.com and check it out. I think it's pretty funny. I got a lot of good feedback on that. Hit the pause button, folks, because we're out of time. I want to say thanks for listening. Thanks to Jeff Shreve for letting me sit in today. Thanks to our guest, all the callers, Kathy Lee Gifford. Hey, by the way, AFR.net, AFR.net. You can listen again. You can tell others. You can share this show. I'll be back live on Fire Away Friday, 4 o'clock with Bert Harper on Exploring the Word. In the meantime, tell somebody about AFR, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus. Pray for America. Stand strong. May God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.